Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back. We're black. We're brown ambition. How you feeling, Mandra?
Feeling fine. Feeling just fine. Feeling like everybody at work needs to stop mentioning the fact that it can be any day now. Oh, you're getting close, aren't you? Thought I would send you this email, but let me know if I just sent it to someone else. I know it's getting close. I'm like, leave me alone.
I know it must be so much.
If the green light is on Slack, I'm here until further notice. When I'm not here, I won't be here. You know, it's like, I don't know. You feel bad for all the texts that you send your friends when they're expecting at the very end. Where you're like, has it happened yet? Has it happened yet? Because it's happening to me now. And I'm like, leave me alone. It hasn't happened yet. I'll let you know. But yeah, feeling okay. I'm excited for, I told you guys last week that we were getting a jump on like holiday decorating, and we had all of our friends come over and decorate. Our house looks ridiculous because I realize it is mid-November and we have all of our lights up. We have a Christmas tree.
That's nice though.
It is nice. I mean, realistically, it was the only way we were going to be able to, like, we weren't going to have time. The baby's due December, like early December. We weren't going to have time to do it if we waited, and it was, you know, before Thanksgiving and all that. So, but it was a lot of fun, but now I just feel so silly. I'm like, how do you keep a Christmas tree alive for a month and a half? I'll find out. We'll see.
You have one of the real Christmas trees. Yeah, we're not doing all that.
Husband got super sentimental about it. He's like, maybe we should go chop down our own tree. I'm like, let's just take it down. He's like, well, next year we can go with the baby and chop it down. I'm like, okay, all right. He's being very like Norman Rockwell right now.
Yeah, you're like, I've learned like in wifing that like I say okay to the things that we're not doing. But you say it now because you're like, you know, when it gets to that time, we'll just make it clear it's not happening. But it doesn't make sense to fight a year in advance. I've learned that lesson.
That is true. You have to pick your battles, you know.
Yes.
The whole Tesla conversation I've managed to put off for about 5 years now. Unfortunately, it hasn't died though. So I'm going to have to approach the battle line. Eventually.
Like, we're gonna have to square off. No, there's been so many things that I've learned that, like, because like Superman will go hard for something, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, absolutely not. And then I realized, like, you know what, this is kind of like a temporary thing, so we can battle it out, only to find out later he, you know, it's not even that serious. So I've learned to be like, well, is the thing that he's saying we should do or have or buy, is it something that we're actually going to get right now, like within like a week or so or a month or so? No. If it's a year from now, 6 months from now, I'm like, one, it could fall off. He might not be as interested. And two, you know, something could have happened where it's just not something that he's focused on, because I used to battle over everything and I would always win. And then he'd be like mad about the fact that I was always winning. And I'm like, girl, you didn't even have to battle. He didn't even want it 6 months later. So I've really learned to be like, I would say something like, huh, okay. Like, not like a committing okay, but like a thinking about it. But really, no, it's not happening. But yeah, I'm learning from all my, I know some of the men are like, what? The three men that listen. And I'm like, whatever. Because here's the thing. Sometimes it's not anything like, you know, like she's wanting to paint a wall or something like that. Sometimes it'll be things that are, doesn't make sense for our family. I'm like, we're not going to get a third car. There's two adults here. I have a car. You have a car. Just because it snows in Jersey a few months out of the year, I'm not getting a Jeep. Like, I don't even leave the house hardly.
Dude, I'm only on the second car argument right now. And I'm like, There's just, it's always something else. It's like if you say yes to one thing, it's like, oh, okay, well, now it's this. Like, there's the home reno, and now it's about, like, let's build a deck in the backyard. And, like, there's always something else, it feels like. What I have tried to do is give him easy, like, give me, like, take an L every once in a while that maybe it hurts my pride because I like to win. But he keeps score. Maybe it was just, like, the worst thing you can do, right, in marriage. But, yay, we're breaking all the rules. He's like, you always, you know, you're, whatever you say always goes, and da 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 da. And I'm like,
yes.
Boo hoo, fine. Why don't you choose where we're going to dinner tonight? Even though I think I choose better.
No, but it's true. I'm learning, like, because my friend Rihanna has been married. I think she's been with her husband, I want to say like 15, no, maybe like 20 years altogether, but married, I think like 15 of the 20 years. And I really watch how she navigates. I'm like, oh, that's good, girl. She's like, girl, we ain't been married this long happily without. She's like, I learned to be like, you know what? Let him have that. It's not even that serious. Like, because she's also, most women like to win. And she's like, but I've learned that, like, girl, it's not that serious. Because she's like, because when you have to really battle for something, you're going to want it. So, you know, if it's like, you know, like, oh, we really don't need extra Jordans, but go ahead. Or we really, you know, I don't want to have, you know, pizza for dinner tonight, but what is, like, it's not worth it. Like, for the house, it was really difficult because, you know, I was like, how are we going to do this? Because I cannot battle you every day. So we came to a nice compromise where he could do whatever he wanted in his man cave. And he got even to expand his man cave in that it wasn't just, like, one room. It was two. We have an open space room in the basement, and then a room that's, like, you know, behind a closed door. So he got the whole basement. It actually looks great. Like, he was able to, like, get his, like, metallic swirly floor, which were not cheap. He was able to paint whatever color he wanted. So the rule was I had no say in the basement, but then I got to do the rest of the house. So it was, when I tell you that was the best rule we ever made, because whenever he came up, it was like, we should do magenta. I'd be like, so, just referring back to our rule, I got the rest of the house, you get the basement.
Magenta. It's always annoying when they care about things that you didn't think they would care about. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, did you want to say in this? Like,
it's just, you know, Superman, like, really, like, fancies himself an interior designer. I'm like, sir, we lived in your colorful bachelor pad for 5 years. We're not doing that here. Like, literally, we had a green laundry room, an orange kitchen, a magenta living room. I mean, it was Rainbow City up in that house. And I was like, I'm not doing that here. I want an adult space. Not that that space was an adult, but it was very clearly his, like, bachelor pattern. He thought he was doing something with all these colors. And I'm like, whatever, we're not doing that here. So, but now he loves it. Now he's like, you know, I didn't get it before, but I love it now. It's very adult and understated, but elegant. So see, at the end, when I win, we all win.
Is what I think, but it's hard to convince an independent man of that. I'm like, oh, I got the one that pushes back. It's annoying.
They all push back.
My mom's so annoying. She's always like, I like the way Enrique talks back. I'm like, shut up, mom. Whose side are you on? Oh, man. So Thanksgiving, you said you're getting Thanksgiving catered, right?
Yes.
But you're hosting at your house?
Yeah, for the first time, so I'm excited. So it'll be Superman's family and my family. So we're going to have a good old traditional Thanksgiving. I'm excited because Vonda, who did my birthday party and our wedding reception, is catering. Not that she'll be there, like, passing out food, but, you know, we'll just go pick it up. But, yeah, I'm excited because – but her Jarrell's family, they're going to bring food. Well, my side of the family as well. But so everybody will bring food, but I think, like, the base food, like, you know, the macaroni and cheese, collard greens, candied yams, the turkey – like, we're going to just have Vonda make it. Because I'm like, what I'm not going to do is stress about making my first Thanksgiving when I'm not even, like, someone. Like, I can cook. I think people think, like, Sammy never cooks. Like, I just made dinner. Chili, white rice, sautéed spinach. I mean, I can cook, but I'm not your throwdown in the kitchen. Like, you know, some women, like, get down, get down. I don't get down, get down. I just, here's your food. It does taste good, but I'm not getting fancy. So I'm certainly not making Thanksgiving for the first time. Not that I never will, but not this time around. Not with his cook and throwdown family coming, because they cook.
Fair enough. Also, it's like there's pressure. Everyone's got their expectations of Thanksgiving, especially when you're, like, blending families the way that they've always done it. And, you know, like, it's – I get a little – especially because my family – my husband's family doesn't have traditional Thanksgiving – in their family like we did, like I did growing up. And it's just, yeah, it's easier. Like, honestly, I think we're going to his cousin's place, and I think we're just going to, like, they're going to get it catered from some, you know, like, I don't know, some, like, what, do you know Stu Leonard's? Apparently people are obsessed with Stu Leonard's. It's like up there with Wegmans, which people are also weirdly obsessed with. People are so weird about grocery stores, but whatever. Yeah, so they do a whole Thanksgiving dinner, and I just agreed with the hostess. I was like, let's just get this thing catered. No one has to cook. I'm certainly not trying to cook. And then, you know, the pressure's off, and everyone can just enjoy. And then if it's not great, you can blame it on whoever made it, not, you know, not your family.
Exactly. And honestly, Vonda cooks really well. I mean, obviously, that's why she's catering. So it's going to be delicious. I just kind of hope that there's enough, because both my family and his family are very much to-go packers. So much so that in their group chat, he had to do like a gentle reminder that the go packing plates will not be put out until the end of the evening. Because, you know, people will pack, and I'm not going to lie, I've done this. People will pack a to-go plate, put it up and hide it, and then go get their regular plate. We're not doing that. He actually had to put a post. He wasn't going to say it that nice. I said, let me type it for you, because what you're going to say is not going to be very nice. And he was like, you don't know some of my family members. And I'm like, I know, because I'm one of them. So I'm not here to be judgy.
You pack it to go plate and hide it. That's so funny.
Yes. And then make my regular plate like, because by the end of the night, some of the good food's going to be gone. So I said, well, dang, I guess I have to be a good hostess and not do that.
That's a real scarcity mindset to bring to the dinner table at Thanksgiving.
It is.
You would not have survived in colonial times.
I know. Like, let me put my food up. You know what I mean? First of all, it's terrible. You know how many times when I'm at someone's house and I've done those shenanigans and I'm looking for a hiding place for my food only to see other people's food hidden? I'm like, oh, so we all get down like this. You're open like a cabinet and there's three plates in there already. I'm like, whose food is this?
That's funny. No, that's how it is when my dad cooks. It's like, come on. That's just the way it is. It's tradition. Definitely when you go to like a party, like it's like the Dominican tradition, there are overlaps. There are overlaps between my Dominican family and my Atlanta, Georgia family. That's all I'm going to say. And how they conduct themselves at family gatherings, and the aluminum foil has to come out. And if people don't get to take a plate home, then do they really have a good time?
Yes.
You get judged.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous about that. I'm like, I don't know, because I told Vonda to cook for 40. But I feel like we're legitimately going to have 40 people. I'm like, is that going to be enough? Because, you know, I feel like it's not a good Thanksgiving if you didn't get a good size to go plate to go, you know?
So at least if you're not like dead from being so full, like you don't want people to leave hungry.
Well, hungry, and you have to go with to go plate. Like, it's mandatory. But I think that with like his side of the family and my side of the family also bringing additional food, we should be okay. But it's definitely something that I'm nervous about. Like, is it going to be enough?
Well, what else is going on besides the holidays? You're going to tape the reel next week?
I sure am. So today,
breaking your no travel rule.
I know, but it's my last, it's the only travel that I have scheduled for the end of the year. But honestly, I have not gone anywhere. I feel like the last place I went was maybe a month or so ago. I went to DC. So I honestly have not traveled much this year at all. And if I had traveled, it's been super local, like Philly, DC, you know, New York. Like I was in New York today taping something called an SMT. And you know, one day we should talk on the podcast about like ways that folks can make money. I know influencer is like a dirty word, but if done properly, you can be an influencer that makes a decent amount of money and maintain your integrity. Because I think there are ways that you can make money online that people are not hip to. And Lynette Kafani Cox, one of our faves, she's one of my mentors, she hit me to the game. So I would love to hip our audience to the game of ways that I make money that you probably don't even realize that, you know, that don't require the super heavy lift. So I did one of those ways today called a SMT, a satellite media tour. You make a lot of money in a short period of time, and then you go back to your regularly scheduled shenanigans. But yeah, I go back to the reel, and then honestly, these days, I'm not gonna lie, I just, like, the opportunities that are coming, I'm just, like, not as interested as I used to be. I'm just tired. good. So maybe it could be the IVF medicine because they have my new medicine. And I think it's like wearing me out. I'm tired. I feel like I'm sleeping all the time.
Listen to your body.
Mm-hmm. That's what someone told me today. I'm like, oh, I'm tired.
I sound like my mom. I'm like, oh, fine.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brand Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
My body. What about you? What's new with you?
Oh, that's all. Just prepping, getting out, trying to stay active, trying to pretend like nothing at all is happening. Even though I'm walking around, I feel like I have like a ticking time bomb strapped to my chest, and like at any moment it's going to go off. I just don't know when. That's pretty much how it feels.
Yeah, you know what? That's crazy when you really think about it. You're like, yeah, any day that's crazy, even though you're like, I prepared, I've done this, I've done that, but I never thought about like what that must feel like. You're like, so we're here now. Okay.
It's very, I mean, you have to go to the doctor a lot, and they like, you know, you get examined a lot, which is very uncomfortable. And they, yeah, I guess, yeah, I have prepared a lot, but there's still the sense you haven't done enough and that you're not ready. And I don't know how to, I think that's just normal. Like I'm just, you know, anyone in this position, you just feel a little bit anxious. And mm-hmm. And then you, I will say my friends and family have done a really good job maintaining their own, like managing their own anxiousness and their excitement and not like putting that all on me because that would just, you know, stress me out. I got my own feelings to think about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I'm just hanging in there. It's nice that the holidays are coming up. I'm looking forward to it, you know. But we'll see in a couple of weeks, man. Tick, 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 tick.
I will say this. Don't do your baby dirty for Christmas, right? Because poor my sister Carol, her birthday is the 21st of December. So when she was younger, they used to roll it all together like, your birthday, Christmas present. And she's like, yeah, no. That's not how that works.
I don't think I can get away with that. He's due early enough that there's enough distance. If you've got more than 2 weeks, you can't do that.
No, but her birthday is just a few days before. And I remember that happening and looking at her like, ooh, they did you dirty, girl. So, and actually, that's why her name is Carol. Aren't my parents corny Christmas Carol?
Oh, that's cute, actually. Don't even get me started on the name. Lord have mercy. We don't have a name picked out yet. Oof. All right. Change of subject. Should we do some questions?
Yes, we should do some questions. Someone actually hit me in the... They were like, love the podcast, have a question, but of course I can't find it. But if I find it, I would love to read her question because I know she would be geeked if I read it. And I love when people hit me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and we read their question and they're like, you read my question! So that's always awesome.
We do read them. We don't always send you messages to let you know because, you know, a lot happens, but we do read them. Let's take one from the gram. This one comes from a listener who wants to remain anonymous but has a bit of a predicament about helping her mother out. Good afternoon, she says. I'm in a bit of a panic. My mother and I are immigrants. She came here to allow me to go to school. Thus, she gave up all her positions back home. I'm about to graduate next August. However, My mother was recently fired from her job because they said she wasn't learning at the pace they wanted. She's 57 years old and terrified she can't get a job because of her age. She put most of her money into my education, and she barely has any savings. Right now with my job, I'm working from 4 to 11 p.m. because I'm not fully certified. My pay is barely minimum wage. I've got one more semester to graduate, but I'm wondering if I should just drop out and help her out. She's an accountant with at least 10 years of experience. We're both a little terrified and not sure what to do next. Oh, my heart breaks for them. That's really difficult. I mean, take out the fact that her mother's not from this country originally, although she has 10 years of experience in the States working. To be fired or let go in your late 50s, it is a vulnerable place to be, no matter how much we want to think that there are tons of opportunities. Ageism in the workplace is real. It's so, so real. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, people do discriminate against people at that age. So it's very tricky, but I feel like sacrificing your own career prospects may not be the, and I'm also wondering, if she were to drop out of school, what could she do to help, like, get, you know, for herself, like drop out and get a job maybe is higher paying, but then she puts her own career on hold. And I can't imagine her mom would want her to do that.
She wouldn't, because she didn't sacrifice for that, quite honestly.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I mean, if you're in the U.S., I mean, with 10 years of experience, she should qualify for unemployment benefits, right? I know it's not permanent. I know it's not, obviously doesn't come with, you know, health benefits that are super affordable. It may not be what she was making before, but it's something to make ends meet in the meantime.
Did she say if her mother's a citizen?
She doesn't say if she's a citizen or not, just that she has 10 years of experience here. I'm going to guess she has some sort of residency, permanent residency or something like that, if she's able to work.
And I know this might seem like, I mean, I don't know how super savvy your mother is with, like, online things. But the truth of the matter is, one of the number one things that people ask me for, like my entrepreneur friends, is for an accountant. I'm wondering, you know, how maybe your time would be best spent, you know, like going to school, finishing, but seeing if you can find folks that are looking for an accountant, because that's honestly the number one thing. Like I told you, Carlos, my accountant, told me that I'm no longer allowed to say his name out loud, even though I just said it, because I have sent so many people to him that he is inundated and he can't take on any new clients, no matter who it is. I mean, there are people, celebrities, that have reached out to me and they're like, "Ooh, please connect me to Carlos." And Carlos is like, "I don't care if it's Oprah herself." Well, maybe Oprah, but, but you know, that he can't take on a new folks. So what that lets me know is that somebody who is an accountant, that there is money out there and folks are looking for an accountant. And so, I don't know if that could give you a little hope or like how you would connect. There's a group on Facebook called, it's by Arsha Jones. It's called like Build It, Brand It, Launch It, something like that. Build, Brand, Launch by Arsha Jones, Arsha, A-R-S-H-A. And in it are so many new and established entrepreneurs, and folks are looking for an accountant. So that's potential. Like just recently, quite honestly, I was looking not for an accountant to replace Carlos, but I was looking for someone like, cause Carlos is my big accountant that I meet with quarterly. I was looking for someone on a day-to-day basis that would be able to help with that. So people are looking.
Yeah. You know, if she's good and you can maybe coach her a little bit on establishing herself on the web, that's a really good tip. Just reaching out to maybe start locally, even if you guys go to church or if there's like an online, if there's a, there's so many local Facebook groups now. You know, I'm in this group called Moms of the City I Live In, and they're constantly looking for, do you guys have an accountant you love? And everyone shares their accountant. Do you guys have a pediatrician? Mm-hmm. Everyone shares. Do you know where to do this? I'm looking to get furniture refinished, like a million different things. So if you were to join one of those groups and even just like, you know, on your mom's behalf, send a message, see if people are looking for a part-time accountant or, you know, someone to just assist them with their bookkeeping.
Yes.
That I imagine there's a lot of small business owners, entrepreneurs, independent contractors who could use help. It's end of year too. So I feel like people are getting their shit together for tax season. So, it may be an opportunity. It just may be, you know, a little bit more legwork than going to job boards. I think being a little bit creative might be the answer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I think. And especially, like, quite honestly, she's got a career that is in high demand because there are so many new entrepreneurs. So even if it's not like straight out accounting work, bookkeeping work, I mean, people are still are starting to understand the value of really having some sort of financial person on their team. So, yeah.
Help her figure out maybe what a good hourly rate is. And to be, and the sad thing is that if you're doing it online, you're not seeing people in person. There's not a chance that physically, your image as an older woman, which it's sadly enough, could diminish your chances of getting like a second interview. Like online, there's a bit more, I don't know, a greater chance for anonymity at least, and let your credentials speak for themselves first and foremost. And, you know, as far as like trying to fight against ageism in the workplace, I'd love to hear from listeners if you feel like you've encountered that or if you have any tips there, because it's something I think about a lot, even when I hire, like how to not let my own internal bias get in the way of, you know, candidates who have a ton of experience, because you can tell yourself like, oh, they're so senior, will they be happy in this role? You know, they're mm-hmm. they have so much experience. Can we afford them? And you may start questioning before you even get them in the door in the first place. And it's just, you know, it's genuinely not fair to people. Or you're thinking, I'm not thinking this, but you may be thinking like, oh, they're close to retirement. How long will they want to work for? Well, mm-hmm. people are working into their 70s now, you know, 80s in some cases. Bernie Sanders, hello, and half the presidential candidates, but it seems like anyway, yeah. So interesting, and I mean, wish you guys all the best. But ultimately, I don't think either of us thinks you putting your own education and career on hold when you're so close to graduating.
Mm-hmm. It's not. I don't think that that's so, because she didn't sacrifice for that. Honestly, you know.
Yeah.
So, and plus two, in the long run, you're going to be able to help her even more, you know, by doing what you're doing, which is finishing school.
100%. All right, Anonymous. Well, thank you very much for your question. Let's see. Oh, here's a quick one. We have a listener who wants to know, Tiffany mentioned something about her free saving challenge. Where can I sign up or get that information?
Well, you can go to LRC, that's the Live Richer Challenge, save.com. So LRC, save.com. But if you're someone who's like, I have 5 Live Richer Challenges. I've done a series, savings, credit, net worth, home buying, fundamentals. I think that's it. But if you are just looking for any of the challenges, take one at a time. Do not sign up for all of them, or you're going to get multiple emails a day and then you're going to be cussing me out. You can go to liverichurchallenge.com. That's where all of them are housed. So you can kind of pick the one that's best for you. But directly to the savings challenge, it's lrcsave.com.
Fabulous. And when does it kick off? In January?
Yes, we haven't really started. I mean, like the truth is, I mean, low-key, they're automated. So you can start now if you wanted to. But if you're wanting to do it collectively with like thousands and thousands of women, because we support each other, then I'm going to be doing like a big push at the end of December to get everyone signed up so we could start the first Monday in January together, because literally every single day I'm there with you, holding your hand, making sure you're good. Because sometimes you need, especially in the beginning of the year, some of that extra hand holding. So you can start it now, but if you'd like to do it with a group, then you can wait until the end of the year when I post and share, and I'll share it on Brown Ambition when we're doing it.
Perfecto. It's not New Year's season without a Tiffany Live Richer Challenge.
I know. I almost didn't do it. Honestly, what I've learned, like today, I'm like, oh, I feel like everything is falling apart. But then I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot that when things get hard, then that is a clear indication that I am leveling up. It's been like a little while. I've been like
level up, at the level up, level up, level up. Sorry, level, had to level, do it.
Right? I'm actually doing it like the arm swing. Level up, level up. Although I cannot dance very well. But so today I was thinking to myself, wow, everything we're doing is like not doing. I'm so used to like things going fairly smoothly. And I'm just like, why are there so many things that are not going so smooth? You know, and all the things I'm working on, not personally, that's going great, but professionally. And then I was like, oh, I forgot that whenever I am, like, whenever I've kind of maximize all that I can do at this level, then it gets rough because it means that I've outgrown the tools and resources that this level can find useful. And it took me a minute to remember that, like, oh, these tools and resources, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. They just don't work. It's like, it's almost like, you know, like, okay, you're 13 and you're not wearing an 8.5 shoe anymore. There's nothing wrong. It's just that you wear a 9 shoe. And until you get those size 9s, it's going to feel uncomfortable. And so that's what's been happening. And today I realized that I addressed it with, I had a marketing team call and it kind of had like the aha moment, like, oh, we have to navigate differently because the way we're navigating now is not working because we have outgrown those old ways. So that's just kind of a message to anyone who is like, why is everything going wrong? Is it Mercury in retrograde? Perhaps. I think it is. But it also might mean that you've outgrown your current tools and resources and it's time to level up and time to adopt new ways to attack new challenges.
I was trying to remember the theme song for Growing Pains because I was going to be clever and sing it. But then I just like what? Brain farted.
What is Colin Payne's theme song? What is it? Oh, show me a smile again. Show me a smile. The minute of your trying. Yeah, I don't know the words.
No. The best is waiting to be good. But see, with the 90s theme songs, they all end up sounding like each other. Like, I'll start singing the step-by-step one, end up singing Family Matters, and then I'm, like, into Full House somehow. They all, like, they all have the same common thread. All right, cool. All right, let's take one more since that was a quick question. Let's call this listener who wants to remain anonymous. I brain fart. Ashley. Okay. Ashley says, and this might be a good question for you, Tiffany, since a little birdie told me that you launched a business from scratch. She says, I'm a freelancer currently making about $40 an hour. My only expenses are living at home, paying $250 in rent and buying groceries, but I'm currently bootstrapping my online boutique business. I quit my job in corporate America so I could do this business. Now I have about $30,000 in student loans and about $1,700 in credit card debt. The business is taking up the majority of my leftover money after rent and groceries. Do you guys have any advice on what I can do to begin saving more? Thanks in advance. So she's wanting to bootstrap her business, starting from scratch, quit her job, has low expenses, which is good.
Yes.
Only making $40 an hour as a freelancer, though, and feeling like she wants to build her business and save at the same time.
Sometimes those things actually are like oil and water.
Yeah.
So when you're starting a business, sometimes you have to be okay with the fact that, yeah, savings is not really going to happen right now. I had to be okay with that. I did not save for the first 4 or 5 years of business. It was just enough to be like, okay, head above water. You're not going to drown. I'm not going to let you drown. And that's what that's why entrepreneurship is difficult because like traditionally, you know, you work at a job, you make money, you know that you're going to save, you're smart about it. But with entrepreneurship, you kind of have to suspend what would normally be responsible behavior. In that I was like, yeah, so took this money out of my retirement account. Not a good idea, but I did it. And yeah, I'm not saving right now and I'm paying the minimum to everything and deferring all my student loans. Not the best idea when it comes to traditional personal finance, but I did it. It doesn't always work out. That's why it's not always a good idea. But if you're saving just even a little bit now, sis, you are way ahead of the game. Because most folks in the beginning are not saving anything because truthfully they're, you know, it's the beginning of their business. So I would say be okay with not saving as much. Make sure like right now you keep your expenses as low as possible. You're like in the beginning stage. Normally I don't believe in over sacrifice. There's no such thing as over sacrifice in the beginning stages. Like we're not going on vacation, sis. Guess what? YouTube could teach you how to do your nails. that's what it looks like in the beginning until you can get stable income coming in and you get to a space where you're like, okay, I'm making enough to cover more than just basic life and I'm able to save a little, and then you can rejoin the land of the living. But in the beginning, starting a business is really, you're living along amongst the dead. We're walking around here like zombies just trying to make things work. And here's what's going to help you with this feeling of not saving enough. You need to have other entrepreneur friends. Because when I tell you, when I spoke to my regular 9-to-5 friends and I would share like, yeah, so Verizon ain't getting it this month, they'd be like, oh, clutching a pearl, Tiffany. But when I spoke to my entrepreneur friends, they were like, hey, sis, me either. Okay. So what I learned is that having entrepreneur friends helped to normalize the craziness of entrepreneurship. And so I felt less crazy. I'm like, oh, you're late as well. Okay. Oh, you're not saving. Okay. Oh, you moved to a room. So did I. Oh, you haven't driven your car because who has gas money? So you have to reset your expectation of what life is going to look like in the beginning stages of your entrepreneurship journey. And it's going to help to have other friends who are also going through entrepreneurship, because it will normalize what normally would not be normal.
All I would add to that is, so she already is doing so many right things. She's living at home. Her expenses are super low. $250 in rent, buying groceries. And when you think about the advice around how much to save for an emergency, you know, if you're living at home, your risk is so much lower. You know, you don't have a full-time job, right? So you're living at home already. It's not like if you were to lose your job, you would have, doesn't sound like you have kids or a family relying on you. So the need for you to have this stockpile of cash for an emergency isn't quite as great right now. And you've given yourself the room that you need to start building your business. And even though you have $30,000 in student loans and what, $1,700 in credit card debt, I would focus on paying that off as soon as you can. First and foremost, and look at that as a you know, form of saving, if you can. And then look at the way that you're living as a form of saving too. Like, what could you be spending if you didn't live at home? You know, so you are saving. You're just choosing to put your savings into your business, it sounds like, which when you're young and just getting your start, that's acceptable. So I agree with Tiff. Take the pressure off to have some big stockpile of cash and focus on what can you do to invest in your business to grow it so that you can fulfill, you know, your ultimate goal, which is to be an independent business owner.
And I will, the one thing I will say is that it took me a while to understand this, but I wouldn't put all my emphasis on getting debt free, you know? And it took me, who is like super debt adverse, to understand that I instead was like, okay, I can put, well, because that's what I had student loan debt, $50,000, and then I had credit card debt, $35,000. And the first stages of when I started my business, I was adamant. Like, I put all my extra funds and time and energy that I was making toward getting rid of this debt. So I paid off the credit card debt in like 2.5 years. I was like, yes. And guess what? My business was doing nothing, because I was putting all that money into the credit card debt. And not that I shouldn't have paid it, but knowing what I know now, I should have been more moderate with my pay down plan and instead invested that money back into my business. Because then I said, okay, I'm going to put all that same energy into paying off my student loan debt. And I started, and I'm like, okay, Tiffany, you're at year 3 in your business and you're not making any money. Like, maybe let's rethink this. Instead, what if I put the same energy and funds into the business? And I started to do so. And within the next 3 years, the business had made me enough that I had the $50,000 as a lump sum payment to make to the student loan debt. That's what I said about like business operation when it comes to your money is different than what I would normally suggest a regular person working at a regular job. Like, normally I'd say, go attack that debt. But as an entrepreneur, I'm saying, have a debt pay down plan that's basically moderate and you kind of set it and forget it, and then put your energy and money and funds into growing your business. Because if you do so, you can potentially make the money to take care of that debt. Because I was credit card debt free, but I was still broke. And by the time I paid off my student loan debt, I was student loan debt free. But now I had money because I focused on the business. But that was a hard lesson for me to learn. It took like 3 or 4 years of brokenness to realize, like, Tiffany, you have to refocus your effort. And if you're living home and you're making the sacrifice, make the full sacrifice. Like, you should be beasting. The first year I was lazy with it. I was like, oh, I get to nap. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-mm. napping, you know, like you should be beasting. Normally I'm all for harmony and balance, not in the beginning. You should be putting the best that you have into it to see, is this something that could really work? Because the seeds you plant now, this is the fruit that you're going to eat later. I have a whole orchard worth of fruit. And I look, it's not because I'm a super beast right now, but it's because I was a super beast in the beginning. So I'm picking all that fruit now. So put in as much effort as you can, see if this thing can work.
Well said. And I'll just shut up because how can you follow that? I'm just trying to, you know, give you the space that you need to shine. That's all. That's all I do sometimes.
No, I honestly, I feel like we have like an entrepreneur show because it's such a topic that depending on what day you catch me, I'm like, don't do it. I was telling my sister the other day, like, run for the hills. Don't do it. It's terrible over here. And the other days I'm like, oh, it's cute here. I like it. So,
you but know, it's the same on the other side too. Believe me. It's the same on the other side.
So I'm like, you have like insurance and security.
Oh, get out of here. Everybody, the grass is always greener.
Yeah, this is true. Because I literally was like, I miss having like regular money come in and not having to worry about 30 people and how they going to get paid and what the government said. And, oh, I forgot to send that letter in and now I owe $3,000 instead of $300. I'm like, oh, my God. Sometimes it's so much. And the other days I'm like, okay, look at me out here doing it. Like, honestly, it's a roller coaster relationship. I feel like I'm just in a crazy relationship with entrepreneurship.
I think it's going pretty well from my perspective. For you anyway. All right, guys. Well, as a reminder, you can hit us up on Instagram at Brand Ambition Podcast with your questions, or you can email us at brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Booster break?
Are we gonna boost? Are we gonna break? You finna boost? You finna break?
I'm gonna do a boost this week because I don't know how these companies make money, but if you're, I love sending holiday cards, but I hate like the work. It sounds like a lot of work to send out holiday cards, etc. And this is not a promotion for any one particular company. How, you know, but I'm going to name a company. They're not a sponsor or anything like that. But every year I just go to like either Shutterfly or Snapfish. I don't know how they make money. They always have like 80% off promo codes. And I managed to get like, all you do is slap a picture. They put like a holiday greeting on it. You can like upload your address list and get envelopes with addresses printed on them. And it's so cheap to get like cards made. And it makes me feel like a real adult when I can send out holiday cards. And so shout out to those services and their promo codes. And I hope they don't go out of business ever, ever, ever.
So I have never sent holiday cards. I'm like, oh, that'd be so cute. Wait, so what's the company, Shutterfly?
there's a bunch out there. So I toggle between Snapfish or Shutterfly. I just got like a bunch of thank you notes made for my baby shower on Snapfish. And of course, I did it at like 3 a.m. when I woke up, and it took me no time. And I think I got 60% off, and then I was able to get I got a whole book, like a photo book made, like a professional photography book, like where they take your photos and blow them up, and it's beautiful. And I got that made for like $40, and it has something like 80 pages. I don't know. I don't know how that. But all you have to do is Google. If you're going to these sites, don't spend full price. There's just no excuse. They'll even have the promo code, like if you go to their they have like a discounts page, or they'll have it like at the bottom of the page or even at the top banner, you know, promoting it. Don't ask me how they make money, but I guess the margin's really good on these products, but it's really, and then you'll get it within a week, I feel like. It always comes super fast. So don't do it old school and go to Papyrus and overspend on, because I used to do that all the time, go to Papyrus and like spend a ridiculous amount of money on, you know, the physical cards, because they can just do it for you. It's fabulous.
Yeah, that does sound fabulous.
What about you?
I am going to, you know, I'm going to boost this holiday season. Let's be positive. I'm going to boost making connections. So one of my sisters is like really like into self-improvement right now. She took one of those. Have you ever heard of like Momentum? It's like one of, there's another one. There's a popular Landmark. Have you ever heard of Landmark? It's like
Landmark what?
It's it, that's what it's called. It's like one of these, like, it's like a self-improvement. Typically it's like a weekend and you get to learn more about yourself and, you know, like things that you're doing that are in alignment with your desired outcome and things that are not. And one of, like, every time she came back, she really enjoyed it. Every time she came back, we talked about some of the things that she learned. And one of the things that she said that she learned is, like, really that relationships are everything, literally everything. And sometimes, like, for me, because sometimes I feel so pulled and overwhelmed that when I get a moment, I won't connect with new people. So, like, yeah, I hang out with my friends and obviously my family, but sometimes if someone's like, oh, I'd love to go out to lunch, I'm like, nah, girl. Like, my default is like, I'm good now. Let's do a phone call. And I had the opportunity to do that yesterday. I'm working with this brand that I really like, and they invited me to dinner. And my knee jerk was like, nah, girl, I'm good. Like, I'm just going to come do my thing tomorrow. And, you know, like, y'all, that's what y'all paying me for. But then this other part of me remembered when I was speaking with my sister, and she was like, you know, making the effort to connect with folks just for connecting's sake. And so at first I said no. And then I was like, you know what? I will go to dinner. And it was like such a good time. You know, it wasn't like, I mean, we didn't talk about business. It was myself, my agent, the brand and the brand's partner. And I was just like, wow, we talked about everything from motherhood to being a woman in business to being a woman of color. Like, it was just such a good time. And I thought to myself, I would have missed out on this because, you know, I get it. Sometimes it could be a lot that's going on, but how you alleviate the feeling of a lot that's going on is really through interpersonal connections. And it was just a good reminder that, you know, everything's not like a business transaction. Sometimes people are just wanting to connect to connect. And that connecting is really what makes life worth living. And that I don't want to jump from transaction to transaction. So just a boost to, you know, interpersonal connecting and making that a priority and, you know, saying yes to more in-person connections. Because like I said, people ask all the time, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in Jersey. I would love to connect. And I'm like, nope. They're like, you don't even know when I'm coming. I'm like, nope. Because I just sometimes, like I said, I feel so overwhelmed. I'm like, lunch or this bed. And I'm like, Tiffany, get out of the house. So if you're needing that kick in the butt, this is your sign. If you need a sign, get out of the house, connect with folks. Everything is not a transaction. Sometimes it's just connecting for connecting's sake. And what ended up happening is that the brand liaison loved me so much that I could totally tell they're going to use me again and again. And that wasn't the intention. It was like, but she was like, girl, you are amazing. Yesterday was so great hanging out with you. I cannot wait for us to work with you over and over again. I was like, what? So, yeah, you don't know what you're missing out on when you don't connect with folks.
And especially because, I mean, just on a personal note, like, it's the holidays and people, you know, depression is kind of higher during the holidays. And even just checking in with, like, friends and people you may not have talked to in a while, you don't know what kind of impact you can be having just to catch up over coffee. Because some people, it's a downtime for some people or a stressful time. And check in with loved ones, I will add to that. But that was that's excellent. Good point.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for another great show. We will see y'all next week. One last show. And we'll maybe see you the week after. It'll depend on this little sir inside of me. I don't know.
Hello from the other side.
We have a new boss. That's how I feel.
I know. Your son is like, hello from the other side. Oh, I can't wait to meet your son. I know he's going to be so adorable.
He better be. Not a joke.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.